Have your Bibles this morning. I invite you to the Gospel of John. Gospel of John, chapter number 1. We started in John. We just keep going through the Gospel of John. John, chapter number 1. John, chapter number 1. Starting at verse number 15 this morning. John, chapter 1. Verse number 15. The Bible says, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, This was he whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me. For he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. And this is the record of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who art thou? And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. And they asked him, What then? Art thou Elias? And he saith, I am not. Art thou that prophet? He answered, No. Then said they unto him, Who art thou, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. And they that were, which were sent, were of the Pharisees. And they asked him and said unto him, Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elias, neither that prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes latchet I am not worthy to unleash. Our Father, we thank you for the Word of God, and I pray that you would bless this morning as we turn to the Scriptures. Nothing fancy I offer, but just the Word of God, and I know the Word of God does the work of God. And I pray that you would meet with us in power. And may your word be exalted this morning, and may the truths that apply, that we can use for our lives, take hold. And God, may it make a difference. And Father, I'm thankful that the word of God is alive this morning. I'm thankful that it is sufficient for all things. And I pray that you would be with those that may be here that is lost and under the sound of my voice, that they would hear your Spirit, and they would repent, and they would believe the gospel. But I pray for all us who are believers today, may we ask ourselves, what is our purpose? And God, may we find that purpose in Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And that's going to be the title of the sermon this morning, What is Our Purpose? And in John, in the Gospel of John, as we looked last week in the first 14 verses, John the Apostle basically summarizes what John the Baptist would say about Jesus Christ in his ministry. John would lay out in the first 14 verses, different than the other Gospels, they're called the Synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptics, that have a very similar storyline. But it doesn't start with a genealogy. It just starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. He declares his deity right from the start. But basically, John the Baptist, as we see in verses 15 through 18, it's just almost a summary of those first 14 verses. So I believe John the Apostle basically summarizes what John said in his ministry for us as we read the Word of God. In verse 15, he states this, that Jesus is eternal. John bare witness of him, of this Word that was made flesh and dwell among us, or tabernacled among us. He said, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he whom I spake that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Now think about this. He said he was before. Now, who was older, John or Jesus? John the Baptist was about 6 months older than Christ. What he's going back to, that he is the eternal existent one, that he has already existed. He existed long before I came into this world. Now, you see in verses 16 and 17, he states that Jesus has the fullness of grace and truth. And of his fullness have we all received grace for grace. Like one wave of grace comes to the shore, followed by another wave of grace and another wave of grace. Superabundant grace has come our way because of Christ and of his fullness. We've all received grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want to say. If God had dealt with us according to truth, we'd all go to hell. Simple. We're all guilty. We all deserve judgment. If we got what was coming our way, we'd all get judgment. He goes and says, and he deals with us not on just the basis of truth, but on the basis of grace and truth. The divine sentence and the justice of God had to be met, and it was met through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he deals with us in this basis. If his life, he'd only met the demands of the law, but he did that. He met the demands of the law through his death, burial, and resurrection. He fulfilled what the law demanded, and therefore, because of this, the justice that was required for our sin has been met in the person of Christ. Now, we have this superabundant grace that keeps coming toward all mankind, and especially for those that believe. Why? Because not only do we have grace to salvation, but we have grace for living, grace for turmoil, and grace for difficulty, grace that comes upon grace that enables us to live for His glory. Grace without truth would be impossible. Think about this, because truth, the law, demanded justice. But not only do we find that, but truth without grace would be condemning. If you had all truth, when we examine ourselves according to the law, we're guilty and we'll face the wrath of God. Truth without grace would be condemning, but grace and truth are met in Jesus Christ. And so he establishes this truth that we can go back and look in what John the Apostle said within the first 14 verses. Verse 18, Jesus reveals God to us. Now notice this. The Bible says no man has seen God at any time. No man's laid eyes on the very essence of God, the only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father. He hath declared Him. Now, Jesus has seen God, but we say this, we understand that which is in the bosom of the Father, He hath declared Him. In other words, Jesus Christ reveals God to us. Now, God is invisible. John 4 and 24, He is a spirit. No man can see His spirit. But the Bible tells us in Colossians 1:15 that Jesus Christ, He is the image of the invisible God. And the Bible tells us that He is the express image of His person in the book of Hebrews. And so when we study Jesus Christ, when we read about Jesus Christ, it is when we understand Him, we understand who God is. Amen? Because He's God. But He's God that's come in human flesh. And the express image of His person. All that Jesus is and all that Jesus does, we might say, explains who God or what God does. Now what's interesting is you look in verse number 18, it uses a word. It says, for He hath declared Him. That word declared is the Greek word that we get the English word from, exegete or exegesis. And what that is an explanation of the interpretation. So we interpret, we understand by this explanation. We understand God through Jesus Christ. That's why he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh to God but by me. You have to go through him. Now, what we find as you look, and I'm kind of giving an overview, and hopefully the sermon won't be too long, but I want you to see this, because I believe it's important to understand what I'm going to say here in a moment. Look at verse number 19. So, the Bible says, this is the record of John. Here's what we have. When the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, who art thou? These priests, these Levites show up and they said, who are you? That's the question. Who are you? How does John respond? Does he tell him how great a prophet he is? And that there'd never be one born of a woman greater than himself? There'd never been one born in the past greater than him? He doesn't do that. Jesus would say that about him, but John doesn't brag on himself. That's not what John does. Look in verse number 20, we see his answer. He confessed and denied not, but confessed, I am not the Christ. Christ means the Messiah. He said, I'm not the Messiah. So that was what was in their question. Are you the Messiah? No, I'm not the Messiah. Look in verse 21, they ask him again. They want to find out more about John. And they asked him and said, what then? Art thou Elias or Elijah? And he says, I am not. Art thou that prophet? And he answered and said, no. Now, two people they want to know about this time. Are you Elijah? And are you that one prophet in Deuteronomy that was spoken of that would be the prophet that was told that would come? And his answer was, I'm not Elijah. Now, we know Malachi prophesied that Elijah would come in the last days. And John does fulfill this. But John said he's not. Well, you'll find that in Luke 1:17, it said that he would come in the spirit of Elijah. And when Jesus spoke of, in Matthew chapter 17, flat turn there and read this, Matthew 17, going to have to give me grace about these thumb index, okay? Matthew 17 and verse 10. And the disciples asked him, saying, what then saith the scribes that Elias must first come? Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already. Notice that he's come. Elijah's come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer them. Now notice, then the disciples understood that he spake of them of John the Baptist. He said, it's not Elijah that's reincarnated, but he's come in the spirit and the might and the power and the manner of his ministry as Elijah did. This is who John is. John says, I'm not Elijah. He's not a reincarnated Elijah. That's not who he is. But he certainly fulfills prophecy. But John's not there to talk about who he is. John's not there to make people think that he's prestigious, that he's important. That's not John's goal in life, and that's not his purpose in what he's doing. Because he's talking about the one who's the express image of God. He's talking about the one who is the image of the invisible God. That is what John's purpose is. He said, I'm not the Christ. And they said, then are you the prophet that was spoken of, that Moses said that one would come likened unto me? Are you that prophet? Now, John says, I'm not that prophet. And you find that in Deuteronomy 18. But who was that prophet? Well, we read in the book of Acts in chapter 3 and 22 and 23 and 7 and 37 that prophet was Jesus Christ. We have that answer, and so we can look to the Word of God for that. Now, notice again in verse 22, what do they ask? They come again. Verse 22, they have to be frustrated. They want to find out who he is, but he's not interested in talking about who he is. And he says, they said unto him, who art thou that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself? Give an answer. Speak plainly. He wasn't there to speak of himself. But he does give an answer. And it's a quote from Isaiah chapter 40. In fact, turn to Isaiah chapter number 40 in the first three verses. Isaiah chapter number 40. Notice what he says here. Prophet Isaiah. comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak you comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand a double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now let me just tell you something. The Old Testament is the New Testament concealed. And in the New Testament, we see the Old Testament revealed. And if you want to really understand the Old Testament, you better understand the New Testament. Amen? But so many people want to superimpose the old upon the new and try to make sense. You're doing it backwards when you do that. And so John says, I am the one who is a, what? A voice crying in the wilderness. That's who I am. I am that one. And so, verse 24, I like this. And they which were sent were the Pharisees. You find throughout the Gospel of John, the Pharisees really never were asking honest questions. They were trying to ask gotcha questions. That's the manner of Pharisees. They ask gotcha questions instead of getting to the truth. The Bible says in verse 25 that they say then, well, if you're not that prophet, and you're not Elijah, and you're not Christ, you're not the Messiah, then why baptize then? And you see, Jews even that day would take proselytes and they would baptize them into the Jewish faith. Because you see, they were Gentiles that were estranged from the covenant of promises. They were estranged from the Mosaic covenant and the promises that was entitled within the Abraham and Mosaic covenants. They were estranged from those promises that are fulfilled in Christ. And that's why Paul writes in Ephesians 2, he lays it out that now there is no barrier. But you'll find they would baptize them to bring them into their covenant. It was one thing to baptize Jews even that day, to baptize Gentiles. But what's so shocking is he's preaching repentance, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And he warns about judgment, and his fan is in his hand. And he's going to thoroughly purge his floor. And the axe is laid to the root of the trees. You know what's happening? I mean, he is preaching that judgment will not only be for Gentiles, but it'll also be for Jews. And now you see Jews getting baptized, and that is just, it's strange to them. They can't believe, who does this guy think he is? It's one thing to baptize a Gentile dog into Judaism, but he's doing something entirely different here. He's doing something different. He's baptizing Jewish people. What is he doing? And so we find that this was extraordinary to their mind. They could not put their head around this. You see, what he was saying, it's not just Gentiles that need to be saved. It's you that needs to be saved as well. You see, I mean, some people have the idea just because somebody's Jewish, they're going to go to heaven. Oh, they can go to heaven if they abide not in unbelief, is what Paul said. They got to get saved. You got to get saved. Your physical descent, he even wrote about this, and John's saying the same thing here. He said it doesn't matter what you were born of. It doesn't matter how you were raised. It doesn't matter where you're from, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. You see, John the Baptist comes preaching this. And what's amazing is when we look at this, in the Scriptures, the Bible says, he said, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. They hadn't met Christ yet. There's one greater. John answered and saying unto them, I baptize with water. There's one that stands among you whom you know not. He it is whom coming after me is preferred before me. John, again, I don't talk about me. I want to talk about him. You notice that? Every time I'm going to talk about John, nope, talk about him. And here's what John's evaluation. A slave, it was their job when someone entered in the home to take somebody's shoes off, to unbuckle their sandals, to untie their sandals, and to wash their feet. He said, I'm not even a worthy slave that is fit to take his shoes off. That's how John saw himself, in this extraordinary humility. That's how he saw himself. I want to call your attention. Look back, and I'll get to the message, get to the outline. You see, to just pull a verse, make application without the exegesis of the passage is not wise, and it's not good. We need to see the text to see what the text says. Amen? And the Bible says this, that verse number 19, they said that the Jews come to him and they ask the question, who are you? Who art thou? We see again in verse number 21, are you Elijah? Are you that prophet? And then they ask him, he said, who art thou? In verse 22, why are you doing what you're doing? Then we look again. He tells them, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And then they ask the question, well, why are you baptizing? Why are you doing what you are doing? They keep grilling him. They keep wanting more answers, and they're not liking what they get. But notice John had nothing to say about himself. Nothing. Why was that? Because his purpose was to talk about Jesus. That was his purpose, was to talk about Christ and exalt Him. It wasn't about John. That was not it. He was privileged to be the one to announce the Messiah. He was privileged with that. But he also had a problem because he had to make his path straight to level the mountains and make the road smooth that people could come to the Messiah to show them that Jesus was the Messiah. And what a problem it was for these people and for John. You see, Jesus is the Word. But John, the Bible tells us, is the voice. Notice that. Jesus is the Word, but John was the voice of one crying in the wilderness. You see, you cannot see a voice. Why is that? Why was John the voice? Because it wasn't about him being seen. Do you see that? It wasn't about John. It wasn't about him. In fact, in chapter 3, verse 26 through, they come to him and said, listen, Rabbi, the one that beyond, when he said, and they came to him, John, and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth. And notice, all men come to him. Men were coming to him. All these men from around the surrounding areas and region were coming to Jesus and to hear his message. But notice, it's almost like, are you jealous, John? No, I'm not jealous. Look in verse 30. He must increase, but I must decrease. He saw himself so small, he wasn't even worthy to latch his shoe buckles. But we find here that he says, I must decrease from even that. Do you see that? That's humility. Why? Because it was not about him. Let me tell you, number one, John was not concerned about his position. He wasn't concerned about his title. He wasn't concerned about where he ranked among other prophets. He wasn't concerned about that. He wasn't concerned about prestige. He wasn't concerned about saying, yes, I've come in the spirit of Elijah. He's not come to say, yes, I've fulfilled biblical prophecy. He's not into none of that. He's not interested in his person, about people liking him. He's not interested in people patting him on the back. And he's not interested in pleasing but anybody other than God. That's who he is. That's his person. And by the way, I'm going to show you, it's a good lesson for us to learn too. 1 Thessalonians, turn there. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. Notice what Paul's idea was. Was he concerned about his position? His prestige? Was he concerned about who people thought he was? But verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor uncleanliness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men. He wasn't interested in making people like him. I don't believe he set out to make them mad either. I see some people that do that, but he's not interested in that. But God was trieth their hearts, for neither at any time we use flattering words, as you know, as a cloak of covetousness, which God is our witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. Look in the book of First Corinthians this morning. Turn there. 1 Corinthians. Notice Paul again. 1 Corinthians. Once I get there. Boy, this thumb index really messes with my flow, my rhythm. I don't like it. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Look at verse 1 through 5. And I, brethren, I came not to you, came not with excellency of speech or wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He didn't try to fancy it up. He didn't try to bring a la carte with it. He didn't try to give ambient lighting with his preaching. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's all I want. That's all I'm going to say that I know. And I want to say to you, if you know that, you know a lot. And let me say to you, John the Baptist, John, who are you? I believe you could answer this. I'm determined not to know anything among any of you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. John the Baptist could have said that. Look at verse 3. And I was with you in weakness, and I was with you in fear and much trembling in my speech and my preaching. It wasn't with enticing words of man's wisdom, but was in the demonstration of the Spirit and the power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but the power of God. I mean, we find that here he is, he's delivering the truth. John wasn't concerned about his position, his prestige, or his person. Well, what was John concerned about? He was concerned about his purposes. Look at verse number 23 of John chapter number 1. He says this, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. He was the forerunner of the Messiah to announce to the Jewish nation that the king has come. That's what a forerunner would do. The king was coming to town. They'd send the forerunner ahead, and he'd go through the streets. He said, make them level, make them smooth, move every obstacle, repair the road. And he said, if we can dig that hill away and make this path straighter, that's what we're going to do. That's what the forerunner's job was to do. And that's the only thing that he was concerned about, was doing his job. He wasn't interested in the job of another. I'm going to do my job. I'll let God do His, and I'll let everybody else do their job, but I'm going to do my job. That's all I'm interested in, and that's the only thing they could get out of Him. He wasn't, not only did, listen, he was concerned about His purpose, but He was concerned about a person. And the person that He was concerned about was Christ. And He wanted to glorify Him. And I love how the Westminster Shorter Catechism says this, what is the chief purpose of man? And the answer is this, the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. That is our job, to glorify God and what? Enjoy Him forever. You say, what's the purpose of man? What's our purpose? It's to bring God glory. What was John doing? His chief purpose in life was to bring God glory. Look what Paul would say in Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Look at verse 33. Romans 11, verse 33. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, His ways past finding out. For who has known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been His counselor? Or who hath He first given to Him that it shall be recompensed unto Him again? In other words, we're never going to put God in a position where He owes us anything. And notice verse 36. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. That's what it comes down to. Everything is of Him. He is the Creator. Everything is through Him. He's the Orchestrator. Everything is to Him. That means He alone gets the glory. Do we see that? By the way, God's a jealous God, and He'll share His glory with no one. No one. And you'll find that if we was to wrap this up in conclusion, What is the purpose of your life? What is the purpose of your life? Well, if we look at John, the purpose of our life is to make known the invisible God through the person of Jesus Christ to the praise of His glory. We find that in Ephesians 1, 11 through 12. Are you living your life with a purpose? And you say, well, yeah, I got a purpose in my life. Well, is that purpose to glorify God? Because if it's not to glorify God, you're doing it wrong. You hear me? You're doing it wrong. Everything we do is to bring Him glory. God, people all the time say this, and I don't want to ruffle anybody's feathers, but I hear it, and I may even preach a sermon about it, but God has a great plan and purpose for your life. Now, when they say that, it's a great plan, I agree, because God has a great plan. But when they say that, it's almost as if they're saying that God has a glorious plan for you in which you're going to make this great big impact and everybody's going to be standing back at all of what He's done through you. Come on. Don't look at me funny. We hear it and you say, well, Brother Grant, what do you mean by that? Well, I believe God has a plan. There's no doubt about that. But you see, by what standard are we considering a great plan or a great purpose? Is it man's standard? Oh, if this is not achieved by your life, then your life was not great and your life really had no value to God? Are we going to tell somebody that everybody comes along and say, well, if you're not in the ministry, then you didn't bring God glory. You can be a faithful mother and father and bring God glory. You can be faithful wherever God has put you and bring God glory. That may be exactly where God wants you, that He gets the most glory. Your purpose in life is to glorify Him. And let me say this. People are all the time trying to find purpose so they can find satisfaction. You will never find purpose. You'll never find satisfaction until you glorify Him. You just won't. And so what was John's purpose in life? To glorify Christ. If your purpose is anything other than that, you're wrong. By the authority of God's Word, you're wrong today. Your purpose is to glorify Him. Father, I thank You for the Word of God, and I pray that You would just speak to us in power this morning. And God, may when we leave here, where we have a desire to live a life of purpose, and that purpose has to be summed up in how can I glorify You? May I be faithful, because it's not about me. It's about Christ. If John the Baptist could have such a humble attitude, God help us, because we're not even worthy to bow down and to unlatch His shoes. So help us as Your people today to exalt the Lord Jesus to a dying world that they may see Christ crucified, risen, and coming again. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.